of it and listen to it. If you want to listen to the whole sermons with regard to the Gospel of John, but it's a tremendous book. So what we're going to try to do, I don't know how far I'm going to go, but in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, this is a famous text of Scripture. Most other than John 3:16, when you come to John 14, let not your heart be troubled. That's also a famous text. Many texts in the Gospel of John are famous, and people know of them, and a lot of people can quote them, which is a good thing. So let's go ahead and look at John chapter 14, and we'll work our way probably down to just a few verses this evening, and we'll ask the Holy Spirit, of course, to help you and bless you. The Holy Spirit still at work, ain't he? Amen. And for anything to get done in a church, it has to be through the unction of the Spirit of God. God can do great things. So, like I've said a million times before, the Holy Spirit's not limited to saving. And that's what I'm still praying for, still praying the Lord would save souls and add people to the church as time goes on. And I'm thankful that the Lord has given us so that we can assemble here together this evening and worship. So let's go ahead and get in to our text that we're going to look at this evening. And the Gospel of John chapter 14 and the verse 1. It says, "Let not your heart be troubled." Now, at this particular time, his ministry was starting to go towards the cross. And Jesus, of course, knew that. It wouldn't be that long before Jesus would be beaten and spit on and imprisoned and all these things and then nailed to a cross. Wasn't going to be that long before that happened. Hey, can I ask you a question? You think Jesus worried about it? I don't either. I don't think he worried about it one bit. I think he did, since the councils of eternity past is when the Lord determined that he would die on Calvary, he's known that for, he knew it for 4,000 years what was going to happen. And he just continued right on. When you read about him, it doesn't seem to bother him really at all. I think he just followed what the Lord wanted him to do, and he, you think about this. He loved you. And when he died for us, he had to do it in order for us to be saved. Without him, we wouldn't have no reason to be here tonight. Jesus is the main thing. Jesus is the main thing. So he encourages them here not to have what kind of heart? Troubled heart. Do you have a troubled heart? I mean, there's a lot of things that causes troubled hearts. But do you have a troubled heart? Now, tonight, I don't have one. My heart's not troubled this evening. But what happens in our lives is it fluctuates. Some days you'll have a troubled heart, some days you won't. What are you supposed to do when you have a troubled heart? Well, I think you're supposed to take that troubled heart to Jesus and tell him what your troubles are. Do you ever tell Jesus what your troubles are? Man, I do. Scripture says, "Cast your burden on the Lord and he shall sustain you." So when I have and I get troubled hearts sometimes, and I'm sure you get troubled hearts sometimes. So when I get those, I cast those. I don't carry them. Because what that'll do is that'll weigh you down so much that it'll make you sad. It'll make you gloomy. Have you ever seen anybody that was in that type of state and they were just so gloomy and so sad and all these things? And I've even walked up to them before and said, "What's wrong with you? What's going on here?" And they'll tell you what's going on. And beloved, a Christian person, they should be able to draw strength from their God. I just believe that. I just believe they should be able to go to Him. Philippians 4:13 says, "I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me." I believe He can strengthen me in whatever I face. Sometimes there's situations we get in and we're thinking like, "Oh man, I don't want to be in that kind of situation." But the Lord's still in control of every situation. He's in control of all of them. So He says right off the bat here, and He's in telling them this. He's telling them, "Don't." He knew their hearts was troubled. Oh, I forgot to mention. Do you know God knows when your heart's troubled? Do you know He already knows that in advance when your heart is troubled? So right now He says, let not your heart be troubled. Now I think what was troubling them, let's look back at John 13 and the verse 33. The disciples had a troubled heart here. And notice what it said. Let's move up to 31. "Therefore, when He was gone out, Jesus said, 'Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in Him. If God be glorified, God shall glorify in Himself and shall straightway glorify Him.' Little children," what's He call His disciples? He calls them what? I love that. Little children. Who did they belong to? Belong to the Lord. Who paid the price for them? Lord did. Are we worth that? I'm asking. Nope. I'm not worth that. None of us is worth that. He paid a great price for this old hell-bound sinner. Didn't He, you? And then a glorious thing. "Little children, a little while," here's what He's telling them. It won't be long that He's leaving. It's what He's preparing eventually to go back to glory. Eventually. So He says, "Little children, yet a little while and I'm with you." A little while I'm with you. "And ye shall seek me, as I said unto the Jews, whether I go, ye cannot come. So now I say unto you, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you." He's preparing them for Him to leave. Look at verse 36. I want you to notice how upset Simon Peter is here, verse 36. "Simon Peter said unto him, 'Lord, whether do you go?'" He picked right up with that leaving thing, didn't he? He picked right up with that in verse 36. "Simon Peter said, 'Lord, whether you're going?'" Did they want Jesus to go? No. Well, eventually what He's going to be doing here, He's going to be going to the cross, ain't He? He's going to be going to the cross. And then eventually He would go where? He'd go back to heaven. Been there 2,000 years. Been there 2,000 years. I don't know when. Nobody knows when the King comes, like we say all the time. From creation to Abraham was 2,000 years. And from Abraham to Jesus was 2,000 years. Did y'all realize that? And from all the way back to the previous 2,000 years, it's 3 years of 2,000. You think about that just for a little bit, how awesome that is. Jesus was here the first time. You count 2,000 years. You think about that. Has it been that long? 6,000 years. You say, "Are you saying Jesus is coming?" Nope. I'm just telling you, it's been 6,000 years. That's how long it's been. Now, it's not been trillions and trillions and trillions and billions of years. 6,000 years. 6,000 years. Who done that? The Lord did. He created the world. He created the earth in 6 24-hour days. 7 days total. Seventh day he rested. He did. He made it. He made it. Have you ever seen an explosion create order? I'm just asking. If you was going to build something, if you went out in you know, over here, say, in the parking lot and you light a bomb, and you run over there and say, I'm going to build me a cabin right here, and you'd throw a bomb in there, would it make order? I'm just asking. Would it make order? No, it wouldn't. Order comes from a designer. And the designer was Jesus. All God's people say it. He did that. What a Savior. He's a Savior. He's the Creator. All of these things. Let's move on. So, he told him not to be troubled. He mentioned he's going to leave, and that's eventually he would. But that's what they were troubled over. It's what Peter was troubled over, and other ones was troubled over. Now, he says, if you believe in God, believe also in me. Now, let me ask you a question this evening. Do you believe in God? Amen. Do you believe that he died on Calvary for your sins and rose again the third day? Do you believe that too? Amen. Beloved, that's called the gospel message. And when you receive the gospel, that's what saves your soul. Now, I love verse 2. It's always been a special text. Most generally, when you read verse 2 or hear verse 2, it's at a funeral service. Most generally. And you'll hear it more at a funeral service than any other text, normally. And that's just fine. Because I never get tired of hearing it. Watch this now. In my Father's house are many what? In my Father's house are many mansions. The Father's house, what is the Father's house? Isn't that heaven? Isn't the Father's house where Jesus is at? Of course, Jesus is everywhere. He's omnipotent, he's omniscient, he's all these things. But the Father's house is my favorite name for glory. I love that statement that he makes. One of these days, I'm going to go to the Father's house. And I want you to know something. While I'm here, I'm away from home. And when I go, one of these days, I'm going out of here, and so are you. And when you go out of here, do you know where I'm going? I'm going to the Father's house. Anything any greater than that? It's a glorious thing. The greatest place a person can be at is the Father's house. Does anybody know why? It's home. I'm not home. My home's the Father's house. All God's people say it. I like it. Mine I do. It's a pretty good text, ain't it? Ain't you glad the Lord put that in your book before you look at? My Father's house, there's many mansions. And the idea of the word mansions is dwelling places. The Lord's going up there to build me a mansion in glory. The idea of Father's house is a dwelling place, is the meaning of it. In my Father's house are many mansions or dwelling places. That just simply means there's plenty of room for you and plenty of room for me. Aren't you glad there's plenty of room there for us? So he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. There's plenty of them there. There's going to be plenty of room to put all of God's people at. Can I ask you a question again? Do you look forward to seeing the Lord? Do you look forward to going to his house? Do you look forward to going to heaven? Boy, I do. Boy, I do. When a person saved and trusted Jesus as your Savior, one of the things that does is what it does. Here's what it does to death. It takes the sting out of death. You read it into 1 Corinthians 15 before. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? See? Jesus took the stinger out. Y'all understand? He took the stinger out. You know, if you... I remember being down Buffalo when that wasp come in and landed on my nice hair that time. I mean, that's a frightening thing. Y'all remember? So, but if you take the stinger out, if you take the sting out of the wasp, ain't nothing to fear, are they? You can slap it all over the church if you wanted to. You ain't going to sting it because it don't have no what? It don't have no stinger. Listen to me. When I die, my death won't have no sting. It won't have no stinger. I'm just going to go off to be with the Lord. When my pop passed here not long ago, when he died, of course, I never even went back when he died. Didn't want to see him that way. But when I went back, all right, when I did his service, they said, how could you do his service? I said, because I know where he's at. I know where he's at. And I know he's better. Y'all agree with me? Amen. When you know they're better, it helps you. They're better. Is he better off now than he was? It's better. It's a glorious thing. It's a comforting thing. So, let's go back to verse chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe in who? Believe in me. Believe in Jesus. Trust in Jesus. What's it called heaven in verse 2? The Father's what? Yeah, it's a mansion. And it's also called the Father's house. Why is it called the Father's house? Because it's what? Home. It's home. I'm not home now. I'm away from home now. Let me say it one more time. I am away from home now. I'm not home. Heaven's home. The Father's house is home. One of these days, I'm going to go home. Isn't that a wonderful thing to know? It is. In my Father's house are many mansions. If we're not so, I wouldn't told you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. He said, he said, I go to prepare a place for you. Now, I got a little bit different take on this, so I want you to think about it just for a little bit. Most generally, we think about God's going up there or Jesus going up here and going to build my mansion. I don't think that's what it means. John 14 was wrote not long before Jesus went to the cross. Not long after this, he would be arrested. He would be beaten. He would be nailed to a cross. Just not far after this. You know, in order to go to heaven, what you got to have? What do you got to have to go to heaven? What is it? You have to have Christ. And you have to have his righteousness. You have to know him. You have to know him. You have to trust in him. You know where he prepared your place? When he went to Calvary. When he went to Calvary and died for your sins. And after 3 days in a tomb, out of there he come. And when he came out of there, he conquered sin, death, and hell. All God's people see it. That's what he did. He conquered sin, death, and hell. How did he do it? He died. He conquered death, and he come out. There was other people, beloved, that resurrected into scriptures. Jesus resurrected Lazarus, and he'd been in the grave for 4 days. But Jesus was the first to resurrect. Listen to me now. Jesus was the first to resurrect, never to die again. All God's people said. That's why they call Jesus in 1 Corinthians 15 the first fruits. He's the first fruits of them that slept. All God's people said. One of these days, we're going to be down at that haven of rest, and the Lord's going to come, and those graves will open up. The scripture says in 1 Thessalonians 4 that the dead in Christ rise first. The dead in Christ, those that died in Christ, will rise first. They'll get what kind of body then? Anybody know? We'll get a new one. One that's not going to sin or age or anything of that nature. We'll get a new body. Then they that are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord will be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. All God's people say it. All right. Let's continue on. So did Jesus prepare us a place? Yes, he did. He did that on the cross of Calvary when he died. He paid your price. He paid what you owed. And he give you everlasting life. All right, now look at verse 3. Here it mentions the second coming in verse 3. That's why I wanted you to follow along with me here. He said, if I go and prepare a place for you, what's he going to do? I'm going to come again. I'm going to come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. That's worth an amen, ain't it? Amen. Where he is, there will we be also. And he said, and whether ye go, and the way ye know. What's the way? What's the way to the Father's house? Jesus. All God's people said. Oh, my. Now, here's Thomas. Thomas said unto him, Lord, he wasn't understanding, and I can understand that too. There's a lot of things I don't understand. But Thomas said to the Lord, we know not whether you go. So he didn't realize that he was getting ready to die. He was going to lay his life down for our sins. A lot of these things they didn't understand yet. Thomas said, Lord, we know not whether thou goest. And how can we know the way? You see the confusion? Do we get confused too? Yeah, we do too. They were too. Lord, don't get mad at you when you get confused. He don't get mad at you when you're confused. He'll teach his people. He'll show his people. He'll instruct his people. He always has, and he always will. One of my favorite verses is verse 6. It's one of my favorite ones. And let's go ahead and notice it. Jesus said unto him, Thomas said to him, we don't know whether thou goest, how can we know the way? And Jesus said unto him, I am the way. Man, That's just plain. You don't, I mean, really, do y'all think that's plain? Yeah. I am the way. Hey, how do you get to heaven? Jesus said, I am the way. If you're going to go to the glory, if you're going to go to heaven, he says right here in the text, no man goes to the Father but by me. That's the only way there is. There is no other way. There is no other way. There's only one. There's not 10 or 20 or 50 or 60. And if people's got mad at me, called me close-minded for years. But what are you going to do with things like this? There isn't 1,000 different ways to heaven. There's one. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man goes to the Father but by me. The only way you're going to go to the Father, the only way you're going to go to heaven is through Jesus Christ. That's the only way you'll make it. That's the only way it'll happen. Has to be through Him. All right, let's go on. Let me look at verse 4 again and work my way down. We'll start to quit. Start to quit. And whether I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said, Lord, we don't know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said, I am the what? I am the way. I am the way. How do you go to the Father? Through Jesus. Is that pretty plain? I am the way. Sometimes I witness to people, especially people on deathbeds. I do that a lot. And I talk to them about the way. I talk to them about the way. I'll say, have you trusted Jesus? Have you asked Jesus to save you? Have you trusted Him? Have you? Have you shared it with them? Have you? Man, you got to know whether someone's trusted the way or not. I don't know. There's been times when I was a little embarrassed to share the way. I was afraid to think I was goofy or something. I remember one time I went up to the hospital up in Kanawha City. And somebody asked me to visit this lady up there. And I didn't know her from Adam. I knew somebody in the church knew him. So I said, well, I'll go up and see her. And I thought, well, this probably won't produce anything. That's what I was thinking of a man. I don't think she went to church anywhere or anything of that nature. I didn't know a whole lot about any of these kinds of things with regard to her. I went and talked to her, and I shared the gospel with her. I told her about Jesus. And once I got done with my sharing Christ with her, I said, would you like to trust Jesus as your Savior right now? I know I don't know you that well. Really, I didn't know her. But would you like to trust Jesus as your Savior right now? You know what she said? I sure would. And I didn't know her 5 minutes. Who opened up that door? Oh, man, He opened it wide open. And, beloved, that's what it takes. The Holy Spirit has to open a door up. Sometimes we'll go in and kick the door open and we're going to get this person saved. Not unless the Holy Spirit opens their heart, there ain't. The Holy Spirit has to open the heart. Y'all agree with me? The Holy Spirit has to open the heart. Lydia, the seller of purple, said, whose heart the Lord opened. If you're sitting here tonight, and I believe everybody here tonight probably saved. Do you know who opens your heart? Jesus did. Jesus is the one that done all of those things. All right. He said, and if I go and prepare a place for you, He said, I'm going to come again and receive Him to myself. When's He coming? Let me ask you a question. When's He coming? I don't know. There have been a lot of people who write books and sells a lot of money to people on those things. I don't know when He's coming, neither do they. I know He's coming. I just don't know when. So what does that mean we need to be? First of all, if you're lost, you always need to be ready then, don't you? You need to get saved so if Jesus would come today, you'd be ready to go. So that you'd be ready to go. That's something you can't put off. He says, and whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, and how can we know the way? I'm going to stop with 6. That look like a good place to stop, Bertha? Verse 6, Jesus said unto him, I am the what?
Way.
I am the way. Isn't that just as plain as you can get it? Jesus said, I am the way. The way where? Way to heaven, isn't it? Is there 10 ways? One. One way. That one way is who again? It's Jesus. He said, I am the way. What else is he? He says he's the truth. He's the truth. You can believe Jesus. He's the way to heaven, but Jesus is also the truth. When you see Jesus depicted in Scripture, he's the truth. Never lied. Never sinned. He came to this earth because he had to save a sinner like me. Do y'all know that I could have been saved without Jesus?
Amen.
Do you know that you couldn't have been saved without Jesus?
Amen.
You got to trust him as your Savior. You got to ask him to save you. Keep your place here. Let's turn to Romans 10. This is just a salvation text. I want you to listen to it. I want you to listen to it now. I want you to get this in your heart. Romans 10. Notice what it says in the verse. Let's start verse 12. I'm sorry. My, this is just pretty everywhere I'm looking. Let's move up to 9. Just too much here to leave lay without me reading it. Real pretty. I'm almost done. It says, for that if thou shalt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Now, if you want to mark something in your Bible, this covers how to get saved right here. Clear as crystal. Let me say it one more. Clear as crystal. Okay? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, what will happen? Thou shalt be saved. Who said it?
Jesus.
Lord did. If you ask the Lord to save you, he'll save you. Verse 10, for with the heart man believes into righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made into salvation. Sometimes you'll see people come up and they've already been saved and they'll come up for baptism. That's one way it's made public. They trust Christ as their Savior, you know, and they want to make it public that way, and that's what people should do. Was Jesus baptized? Baptized by John the Baptist. John the Baptist sure was. All right, stay with me now. Still in Romans 10. There's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. That's Jew and Gentile. For the same Lord is over all and is rich toward all that call. That do what? There you have the word call again. Verse 12, call. Everybody see it? Verse 9, call. You have to call all the way down through all these different texts. You can see them when you go look at it at home. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How shall they call on him whom they've not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. Why is it called the gospel of peace? Can anybody tell me? Because when you trust the gospel, you got peace with God. When you trust the gospel message, you immediately have peace with God. That's why it's called the gospel of peace. Okay? All right. Verse 16 and 17, we'll stop. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. Has all people obeyed? Listen to me now. There's been a lot of people that's heard the gospel that hasn't obeyed the gospel. That's what he's talking about here. See in verse 16, have they all obeyed the gospel? Isaiah says, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. There's a lot of people would hear it, but they don't trust it. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. All God's people said.
Amen.
Let's all stand. Thank you for your attention this evening.